Will you turn to Matthew 5, please? The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. The disciples in the world, salt and light. Right after the Beatitudes, that's how the Sermon on the Mount begins, Jesus talked about our position in the world. He divides it into us and them. Us being the followers, those who take up the offer of the Beatitudes, and them being those outside that. Beatitude people in the world. Most of the Sermon on the Mount is just about us, about the Beatitude people, how we live before God and how we live with one another. So the sermon begins. Good news from God for you who are poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You get God. It's hard to believe anyone would turn that down, isn't it? But for one reason or another, there are already people walking away. And by the time he's finished the Beatitudes, quite a few walk away. And of course, many have not heard the good news at all. So in this section, Jesus shows Beatitude people what kind of relationship we have with the world around us. So there's uncertainty among God's people on this. So it's worth paying attention. So this short section, verses 10 to 16, Matthew 5, verses 10 to 16, this short section shows Beatitude people what kind of relationship we have with the world. So let's listen, though, to the initial offer again. So imagine the Lord Jesus standing in front of our church when we are all together and saying this to us, just for us. That is what he's actually doing here. He's explaining a new way to live, a way that brings us into God's kingdom and actually brings us God himself. So Jesus speaks. Good news from God for the poor in spirit and those who mourn. Good news from God for the meek and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Good news from God for the merciful and the pure in heart. Good news from God for the peacemakers and those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Yours is the kingdom of heaven, and you will see God. So that's Jesus giving us the new way to live. And this way of living brings us the kingdom of heaven, and it brings us God himself. That much we said last week. So there are 9 Beatitudes, and we went over the first 8 last week, and we will repeat the 8th today in verse 10 and read the 9th as well, because they help us understand what Jesus says right after that. So this is the 8th Beatitude, verse 10. Good news from God for those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Good news from God when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and celebrate, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So these last two Beatitudes are about persecution. And as Jesus speaks about persecution, insults and false accusations are definitely a part of persecution. And there are 2 reasons for being persecuted in these 2 Beatitudes. The first one is because of righteousness, and the second one is because of me. So righteousness here is being a Beatitude person. Being that kind of person can get us in trouble in the world. And we can also get in trouble because people know that Jesus is our Lord. That will also put people off. Some people will not mind that we are Beatitude people, but they are offended that we make Jesus our Lord, that we think he's the Lord of heaven and earth, and that all authority has been given to him. So Jesus assumes we will not hide that either. We are Beatitude people because Jesus is Lord. So the world around us will be offended and unkind because of this. And how should we respond? Rejoice and celebrate. Is Canada offended that we love the God of the Bible and we obey Jesus? Good news from God. rejoice and celebrate? Do they say bad things about us that are not true? Rejoice and celebrate. Good news from God for you, for great is your reward. That happened to the best of God's people. That's the core of the response that Jesus taught us. Let's try that on. No more wringing our hands. Be glad, be honored. Shame in the world is honor in the kingdom. You are the salt of the earth. So salt and light, he's going to talk about light later, they're both basic human necessities. We must have salt. Salt flavors food. It was used to preserve meat. There were no fridges or freezers, remember, and there's no ice. So salt and salt water can purify and cleanse. Salt of the earth, light of the world. So the salt of the earth, earth here means the same as the world. Beatitude people are the salt of the earth. The world must have us. We are good for the world. Don't press any one of the uses of salt too hard. Jesus probably means all of them generally. The world badly needs to have beatitude people in it. It is very good for the world that beatitude people are here. So Jesus is correcting what we might wrongly learn from the persecution. Yes, the world will sometimes be offended at your righteousness and that you worship me, but don't be fooled by insults and lies. You are not a nuisance. You are not a nuisance. You are the salt of the earth. The world badly needs you to be just what you are. Beatitude people who worship and obey me. That's what makes you salt. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It's not clear how salt would lose its flavor, its saltiness. That's not clear that Jesus had a particular process in mind. What he does have in mind is how his people might respond to insults and lies and persecution. We might stop being beatitude people and stop following the Lord. In the early days of this church, a woman who had been around a long time did something generous and kind for a neighbor she did not know very well. She showed mercy. But the neighbor was upset and got angry. And this merciful woman was hurt. And she said afterward, "I learned my lesson. I'm never doing anything like that again." And Jesus would say, "No, no, no, don't quit. Don't stop being salt. Don't say, 'I'll never do anything like that again.' Yes, people will sometimes be upset and get angry, but you did that because you're beatitude people and you're salt and you follow me. So don't stop being salt." That's the point of salt losing its saltiness. It's responding wrongly to persecution. That was a fine woman, and she honors the Lord, and she said that, I assume, in a weak moment. But that's what Jesus has in mind about the salt losing its saltiness. So let's remember, we are not a nuisance in the world. We are the salt of the earth. Jesus said we're a nuisance if we lose our saltiness. That's what makes us a nuisance. You are the light of the world. Wow. The light of the world. Beatitude people are not trying to be the light of the world. We just want the good news from God. We want his kingdom. We want him. The Beatitudes are good news from God for spiritual beggars who want God. And the Beatitudes include that we will treat others with the same kind of undeserved kindness and generosity that we got from God. So we're not trying to be light. We're taking God's kingdom and we're trying to treat others well. But we are being light, and that's the thing. Beatitude people are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In the Sermon on the Mount, what the world needs is not a sermon. It needs to see people who live like this because they love and serve Jesus. The world is a dark place because people do not live like this and because they do not love and serve the Lord. That is the darkness in the world. So we come to God empty and he makes us rich. So we treat other empty people as well as we can. because Jesus is our Lord. And this all makes us light. It's impossible to hide a town set on a hill. I changed the translation here because the first words in Greek are, it's impossible. And I wanted to put that first. It's impossible to hide a town set on a hill. This little line tells us several things. One, Beatitude people are a town. We're not just individuals. We are a town. Jesus always assumed his followers would hang around together. So the town here is pretty close to a church, by which we do not mean the building. We mean a group of disciples. This town is set on a hill. And that's a surprise. The Lord's followers don't usually feel like we're set on a hill. But we are. You could say a group of believers was like a little town, or in some cases not so little, people living together. Brothers and sisters, we are on a hill because God put us on a hill. We are a town set on a hill. Make no mistake, the world watches churches. They can't help it. God sees to it that the world watches churches. They can't not watch churches. God put groups of followers on a hill. We know he did because the world certainly sees when we don't do well. And that's because we're on a hill. If you want your town to be hidden, you don't put it on a hill. You maybe put it in a valley. If you don't care one way or the other, you would put the town on level ground. But if you build a town on a hill, it's because you want people to see your town. You want to be the center of attention. You want people to come. So God set us on a hill, and we cannot be hidden. And we might say, who sees us? No one knows about us. Don't kid yourself. People are watching. In Philippians 2, Paul says, do everything without grumbling and complaining. This will make us children of God in a dark and twisted generation, and we will shine like stars in the sky. Wow. Do everything without grumbling and complaining. This will make us children of God in a dark and twisted generation, and we will shine like stars in the sky. What does it take to shine like stars in the sky in a dark and twisted world? Do everything without grumbling and complaining. How does that attract any attention at all? It's the grumblers and complainers that get all the attention, isn't it? Attention maybe, but there's no light comes out of that. Beatitude people are the salt of the earth, and they are the light of the world. They are a town God placed on a hill that cannot be hidden. Who sees is not our business, and getting ourselves up on the hill is not our business. Our business is to live as Jesus taught, and God takes it from there. In John 16, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is out there in the world, convicting it of its sin, its righteousness, and its judgment. And that is quite apart from any human messengers. The Spirit is out in the world doing all kinds of things we don't know about, my brothers and sisters. That's his work. Our role is to be Beatitude people because we want God and we obey Jesus. It's impossible to hide a town set on a hill. If people want to hide a town, they don't build it on a hill, they build it on a low place. How did we get on a hill? God put us on a hill. The town was set on a hill. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Jesus has described, let's read that line again. Neither do people light a lamp or put it under a bowl. Jesus has described three unnatural things. One, salt that loses saltiness. Two, hiding a town placed on a hill. Three, lighting a lamp and then covering it. None of those make any sense. And he's describing how we might respond to insults, false accusations, and persecutions. Don't stop doing what you do and don't hide it. Jesus is looking at a dark and lost world, a world that badly needs salt and light. And it is unnatural for the world not to see our lives as Beatitude people and not to know that we do this because we follow Christ. God put us on a hill. God made us salt. God lit the lamp. And all we're, And all we're doing is saying yes to the good news Jesus preached, but that in itself makes us salt and light. So let's go back. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, Jesus is saying, in the same way, don't be put off by insults, by false accusations, and by persecutions. Let your light shine. The world needs to see people who take my good news to themselves and will live this way. God has been so good to us, who are miserable and spiritual beggars. We receive this from God, and then we treat others as God treats us. They will glorify your Father in heaven. When the world sees beatitude people, they are tasting God and seeing God. They are tasting and seeing the glory of God. We don't look that good to each other most of the time, and we sure don't look that good to ourselves. And the world usually does not know that they are tasting and seeing the glory of God, but they are. Some this draws toward God, and some this puts off immensely. Either way, our lives bring glory to God, which means that the only way we are beatitude people is if we're getting a huge amount of help from God. But the Beatitudes already covered that, didn't they? Good news from God for you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You will be filled and satisfied. So God calls us to this. God calls us to be beatitude people. The one who calls us is faithful, and he will do it. He equips us with everything good for doing his will, and he works in us what pleases him. So Peter quotes that line, glorify your Father in heaven, and puts a different light on it. This is 1 Peter 2. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So they will insult you, says Peter, and falsely accuse you, but they are still watching how you live, even when they hate you. And on the day God visits us, they will glorify him. God will say to them on that day, were my people not living in my ways? Was I not helping them honor me, even though you accused them falsely? And they will say, yes, their lives showed your hand on them all along. That will be God's glory. So, being salt and light is not just so people now will come to God. It is also to bring God glory on that day. So, we are salt and light now to bring glory to God on that day from our enemies, as well as to attract people to God now who are hungry for salt and looking for light. We're salt and light because God has been gracious to us. Don't stop. Don't lose saltiness. Don't hide your town. Don't put it under a bushel. Just live like beatitude people and do it because we follow the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, and what a kind line that is. Our Father in heaven, we want this. We are hungry and we're thirsty to be your kind of salt and light, to be a town you placed on a hill that cannot and should not be hidden. Equip us with everything good for doing your will, Father, and work in us what pleases you. You've called us. Please keep being faithful and see it done. It will never happen without that, which we know very well. And we would be delighted to bring glory to you, Father, now or on the day when you come to earth, either way. And thank you for the good news, Father. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. May that God equip us with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what pleases him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.